Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here on a busy Tuesday. Live from our Quicken Loan studio, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, Sirius XM 206.
I told you they were going to win.
Around the country.
I told you they were going to win.
Hey. Running like that, it was like,
we going to win? Yes.
You guys pulled one off against a guy who's on a practice squad. Well done. Now, you know what? I got to say this
I like
about
Nick
the
Mullins, man. I like Nick Mullins. I really do.
He made some pretty good throws.
He did. Two interceptions, but they weren't his fault.
Not both of them bounced off receivers' pads.
You're right.
I was really happy for Eli last night.
Me too.
You know, it's this little small thing. It means nothing in the grand scheme of the season. But I'm happy that it, and I'm also happy that it wasn't like a 1 o'clock game against whomever, buried with eight or other nines. It was a standalone game, whether you loved the game, whether you bet the game, whether you had fantasy, whatever.
Agreed.
Eli was on a national stage. Mm-hmm. He's been knocked around like a pinata, and for the most part, understandably so. Good for Eli Manning last
night.
And
you know what? For the first time, I was talking to a couple guys in the newsroom over here. He was smiling.
Yeah, I thought
the
same thing.
When's the last time you saw Eli smiling on the sideline?
When he signed his contract, maybe?
BT, it feels like it's been 4 years since this last time we saw him happy playing the game of football. And maybe that's just a release because the pressure is gone right now. It is what it is. They know that eventually a replacement is going to be brought in, draft or otherwise, and he's just having fun riding it out right now. The Giants are so far on the outside looking in right now in the playoff conversation. I mean, they have to go undefeated down the stretch, even be in the realm of possibility, and they probably still wouldn't even make it if they ran it. So it's almost pressureless for him, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think the play calling was better last night. The execution was a little bit better on the offensive line. You saw what Eli could do when he can stand and not have to feel pressured. And, you know, kudos, hats off for them, because they easily, given, you know, getting rid of Eli Apple, getting rid of Snacks Harrison, the feel is that they're rebuilding. They easily could have just laid down and not shown up and put out a horrible effort across the country.
Yeah.
Traveling in San Francisco. They didn't do that. So hats off to all of them.
That's also a good sign for Pat Shurmur, who's in his first year here. And if they would have laid down and, you know, lost a lethargic 23-7-ish or 26-10, no real energy. You know, I'm not saying Shurmur would get fired, but there'd be a lot of talk in New York that maybe he's not the right guy, and he might not be the right guy, but it does stave off the impending doom. It throws a little bit of happiness into a season that's gone awry. And what I think it does, and you and I hit on this a little bit yesterday here, you're less convinced that Eli would go and play elsewhere and less convinced that there's necessarily a market for him to go and play elsewhere. I think a performance, well, he was great last night, but he made a couple of nice throws, and he won. I think last night reignites his flame to continue elsewhere.
Yeah, if
I really do.
If they move on.
No, they have to move on.
I mean, immediately?
Yes, I mean, I would. I'll tell you what.
It sets up such an interesting scenario, BT, because I remember this, because this happened when I was there. Kerry Collins had taken us to a Super Bowl a couple good years in between, and then all of a sudden, it's not that he's fallen off the cliff, Kerry Collins, just production's not as good as it had been. We're just not winning. Some of it's his fault. A lot of it wasn't Kerry Collins' fault. This exact circumstance is arising. We get a new general manager. He'd been there for a while, but of course, he rose to general manager. He wanted to find his legacy at quarterback. We knew he was taking a quarterback. They draft Eli Manning. Kerry Collins says, I'm not being the valet for the next guy. And he basically forces his way out. And that's why we brought in Kurt Warner. And he was the guy who ushered in the era and taught Eli Manning for those first 6 or 7 weeks before he ultimately took over. The question will be, will Eli now be willing to do that? Will he be the guy that
You know
sits,
him better than me. What do you think?
I think he'd compete. I don't think he would do like what Kerry Collins did and say, I want to let me go elsewhere. I think I can still play. I'm going to go to Carolina or Oakland or wherever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think Kerry ended up going to Oakland. I think he went out to Oakland for a couple of years. But I don't think that Eli will be that guy. I think Eli will say, let me compete. And if I win the job, then let me have the job. But don't replace me midway through the season. So it's going to get – it's interesting how it comes full circle is my point. It's coming exactly full circle.
Yes.
Because the Giants have to draft a quarterback – next year. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people say they had to do it this year. They mm-hmm. didn't. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. They have to next year find the guy who's going to be the replacement for Eli. He's going to be 38.
Tika, if I'm listening to this, right, or if I'm watching on CBS Sports Network and I'm hearing what you just said, mm-hmm. now I'm almost unhappy that we won last night if I'm a Giants fan.
Yeah, right.
Because now, like,
you're taking a tick down the draft board.
I got to intervene. I mean, I definitely want Eli to, you know, finish with a flurry, mm-hmm. and I'm sincerely happy for him. But if this is any sort of like a masquerading or a possible glossing over of what really needs to happen, mm-hmm. then I think Eli needs to lose for the Giants. Yeah. Then they need to lose the rest of the year.
But you can't
because
do that.
You cannot enter 2019 with Eli on the roster.
With the question?
With no question. Yeah, no.
Why? No. I don't get that,
His
though.
Status is too... Because anything you do with him, it's going to be magnified. Are they respecting a legend properly? Mm. Are they doing this the right way? And it just stunts the growth. You got to move on.
I'm trying to... Is there a right way to do this?
Yes.
So think of the legend of Brett Favre and how he transitioned to Aaron Rodgers. Now, granted, that was like 3 years in the making, mm-hmm. so it was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
It's
different. They knew what they had in Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly, but it's different than this circumstance.
Totally
it won't be an immediate. But is it ever easy for the guy who's been the guy to just end? I'm trying to think
no,
of the circumstances.
I'm not saying it's
unless,
easy. No, it's
unless
not easy.
The guy retires. Like John Elway.
Joe Montana left. Although they knew that they had Steve Young, who Steve could play, and it was easier for them to do that because they knew they had a guy.
Yes.
Listen, the answer is no. It's never easy. Sentimentality is a strong emotion, and sometimes it's misguiding. But
we haven't seen it in a while, though, right? Who was the last really good Super Bowl-winning quarterback to retire or have to retire from the place that they've been for a long time? It's kind of a unique situation when you think about it.
Yeah.
Because none are jumping to the top of my head other than Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, Marino didn't win, but Marino got old. Remember, he ruptured his Achilles.
But they didn't replace him. You know what? They didn't.
But they were trying to.
Yeah, they didn't draft someone to replace. And in fact, the only quarterbacks that Miami's ever drafted are Marino and Ryan Tannehill. So it's become.
They didn't draft Jay Fiedler?
Yeah, but I don't think it was in the first round.
No, definitely. Oh, you mean first round? Yeah, no,
like,
definitely. Like, first
like
round.
The guy who's replacing
gotcha,
the guy.
Gotcha.
It's hard to find it, to be honest with you. So it's unique. It's a unique circumstance that the Giants find themselves in with their highly revered mm-hmm. two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback and MVP of the Super Bowl, and Eli Manning, who played really well last night.
Mm-hmm.
Not phenomenal,
no.
But really missed that deep throw to Odell. Right. I mean, if he puts that out there, that's an easy six.
Yep.
So he's diminished in some respects, but he also is still a leader. You see it,
mm-hmm.
right? Saw how he led the game-winning drive and ultimately got the touchdown to Sterling Shepard.
That was a good throw, too.
It was good, really
good
throw.
Good throw.
Right
up
where
high.
It needed to be, up high. And
I thought the second touchdown to Beckham was really a nice play because he stepped up in the pocket.
You're right.
He showed some good footwork. He hung in there tough. He
stepped up.
He extended the pocket. Nice throw.
Yeah.
He made some play. Eli is not a scrub.
No.
I've never said that. He's capable of making, 9, 10, 11 high-quality mm-hmm. throws each week. The difference, I think, and in some way, while it was really poorly executed, the way McAdoo and the way they executed the benching of Eli mm-hmm. last year against the Raiders when they went to Geno Smith, in some ways, it's going to be favorable for them to transition. Because you talk about a legend, and we try to run through the other quarterbacks when they retired or when it was time to move on. The things you have to go through as a franchise to reconcile that it's time. And one is, first and foremost, can he still play?
Yes.
The other part is we need to factor in the emotions of the 75,000 people who are reaching into their pocket and have for the past 17 years with Eli. But you know what? In my opinion, I'm not a Giants fan, but I think I know Giants in New York football. And Giant fans know that Eli's not the guy anymore. So they won't resist change.
Yeah.
So the Giants' life is made easier because the fans won't revolt.
Yes.
They don't. Giant fans don't still Eli. They don't view him as the answer.
Yeah. They respect him.
They view him as their.
Yeah. They respect
decaying
him.
Legend.
They respect him.
Yes. But, of course they respect.
But he's not the future to lead them to the
next.
Next championship.
He can't be on the team next year.
But that's the side that I don't necessarily agree with.
Man.
Because I think you let him compete. And I think unless he decides to walk away and say, I'm done, I'm hanging it up, this has been an unbelievable ride.
It just makes everything too murky, Teak. What if he wins the job out of camp? But he might because he's a veteran.
Yeah.
He'll have a grasp of Shermer's offense, right? He wins the job. Giants are 1-3. He's not playing well. Here we are. Now we're in 2019. We went through this in 2017.
Yeah, but you have your
2018,
guy.
2018 and now 2019.
But you have your guy, though. You'll have your backup. Right now they don't know what they don't know what Kyle Laletta is. Right? What's the other guy? Alex Tanner.
No, they got to draft the quarterback.
Of course they
First
do.
Round.
Of course they do. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying they absolutely should. The question is, does that kid come in and play right away as the next guy?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they let Eli be his mentor by example? Because I don't think Eli's going to be like, hey, this just come take my job and I'm gonna hand this off to you in 6 weeks.
Yeah,
like he was handed off to him from
not
Kurt
everybody's
Warner.
Josh McCown,
exactly,
who's playing for nine teams and is just happy to be on the roster.
Exactly,
Coach McCown.
Hey, I want to hold a clipboard, man.
Yeah.
I want to hold a clipboard. I want my $8 million to hold a clipboard. Right?
It's a tough thing to do. I'll tell you something. If Chernoff came in here and said, listen, you know, we've got this kid. He's going to take over the show. Show him the ropes. I'd say I'm not showing him anything.
You're right.
Put him on the air and see if he's good.
You're
if he drowns, he drowns.
You're right. You're right.
I mean, yeah, that's not my job to make sure he can do a radio
it
show.
It's not, especially when he's going to replace me.
Exactly. I'm going to have to sabotage him, Journey. Poison his water during breaks.
Hey, cuss every other word.
Yeah, right. Hey, disable the dump button. Hey, by the way, I do think this. Watching the 49ers, I'll tell you, Shanahan's a hell of a coach.
He's unbelievable. It just tells you, and it's funny you go there because it tells you how important coaching is.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was a point where, you know, for years, and it's just starting to change, got to get the right quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you have a functional, competent coach, their marriage can mesh and they can succeed.
They'll grow together.
I think it's almost, I don't want to say it's quite flipped, but the gap has narrowed. And you look at Trubisky, like you and I both like Trubisky's tool set for sure. But if Trubisky's coach is Jeff Fisher or Todd Bowles,
you're
or just throwing out defensive guys, you think he threw for 330 last week with three touchdowns and was 23 out of 30 last week?
It's not fully empirical. It's kind of more anecdotal. But we saw this with Jared Goff, with Jeff Fisher.
For sure.
And then you give him an offensive guru, a genius, and Sean McVay. Look what happened.
Yeah.
The kid was unbelievable. He made a Pro Bowl team and led the Rams all the way into the postseason. Now, they laid an egg in their first postseason real action last year, but that doesn't mean anything, really, other than that they're young and they don't know how to win yet in big situations. But, yeah, it really matters when you have a young, supposed-to-be stud quarterback who the coach is. And even if you don't have a supposed-to-be stud, Nick Mullins is not supposed to be a stud.
Yeah.
But this kid is playing with confidence, and maybe that's in his personality, but he's throwing the ball exactly on time where it needs to be, the two interceptions notwithstanding. But again, not his fault. They hit his receivers in this chest, right? You hit pad, you're supposed to catch those. It happened both times, and B.J. Goodson picked them off. But Nick Mullins is playing great because Kyle Shanahan is putting him in positions to play great.
As did Beathard.
Yes.
And as did Garoppolo last
exactly.
year. Although Garoppolo first couple of games this year was maybe a tick below what we thought. But then again, his running back got hurt in camp, doesn't have a top flight wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the coaching element, it's paramount. You see it on a weekly basis. You know which quarterback has the right coach, and conversely, you know which doesn't.
You're right.
Teak, well, hey, how about this? You know, because we don't want to just focus on Eli and the Giants. I am curious because sometimes when you live in a city and you microanalyze things, you're influenced by outside noise and what you've seen for 15 years. I am curious. We'll get some calls on this. 855-212-4227. Like, if you're a Jaguars fan, if you're a team not with a high draft choice but on the roster currently, but maybe a team in transition, Do you think Eli can play? Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a somewhat ready-made roster, you saw him make some throws last night. You also saw him miss on a few. Is there anything left in Eli? Because, again, we get a little too, too wrapped up in maybe it's hard to divorce what you know and what you've seen every Sunday for almost better part of almost two decades.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that.
You're right.
So when you're a fan of a team in a different city, maybe you have a different purview. I'm curious what people think. And by the way, right before we came on the air, we're following Le'Veon Bell. We'll get to that coming up as well. He's got about 40-plus minutes to report. He's yet to do it. You saw what happened last night with Kevin Durant and Draymond Green. Mm-hmm. There was an article, Woj had it, that just popped up literally just before we came on the air, and I was about to read the sponsor to the show. It spilled into the locker room. Mm. And now you're getting some real divisive signals. And the article, the tone, it's about Kevin Durant's impending free agency. Got a lot to get to. We'll get to that. Jimmy Butler spoke today. He was introduced in Philadelphia. Hey, Dolph Lundgren's going to stop by.
Nice. Dolph! I will break you.
Ivan Drago. Get ready for Creed 2 coming out on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. David Njoku, the tight end for the Browns, as well, inbounds, out of bounds. So we'll get some calls early. 1-855-212-4227. Short and sweet. Can Eli still play? Can Eli still play? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have frequent heartburn? Like the kind of heartburn where you stash antacids everywhere. You feel like you got to have those chalky tablets for whenever heartburn might strike. If that's you, you do know that there's an easier way to deal with heartburn. Prilosec OTC. Just one pill a day will last a full 24 hours with zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, you can actually just not get heartburn in the first place. No more stashing antacids. Try Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Simple question. Can Eli still play? You saw him last night. You've seen him for 15, 16 years, whatever it is, the good, the bad. Is there still a little something there? We'll get these calls. I just mentioned to Teague before about this this extra layer to the confrontation between Draymond and Kevin Durant last night.
Yeah, man. I thought it was nothing.
I didn't think it was much either. They've had that. I mean, first of all, they're boys, and they've had that kind of relationship. And I actually think it's a good thing because it keeps them from getting bored.
Yeah.
I always viewed that as like a positive thing.
Yeah, remember we saw this in football, a different sport, and obviously a different physical and emotional type of game, but the Seahawks were this way.
100%.
They were winning championships, or at least going there frequently. They used to call each other out, like, for real.
And it always worked.
It always worked. At least you knew where you stood with everybody.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a little odd that it's gone into this direction here, because it seemed like it was fairly innocuous. The highlight, Draymond just dribbled into traffic. Obviously, Steph didn't play. KD wanted the rock, didn't get it. They were chirping on the bench, and the new layer, and Woj just tweeted this, and we'll get these calls in a sec, right? But this is interesting. Reporting with Mark Spears, this is Woj's tweet, on what's described as one of the most intense and volatile scenes of this Golden State championship era, organizations working through the aftermath of Kevin Durant, Draymond Green exchange from last night.
Yeah. You can't get caught in the adjectives, though.
Can't sometimes, be bad.
Sometimes we do.
Can't be bad for my Knicks.
That's true.
All right, let's get first up. Van is in Arkansas. Do a little Eli, who looked pretty good last night. And Van is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Van? How are you today?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We are good, man. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm a Giant fan. I'm from upstate New York originally. I don't see Eli as a backup type guy, you know what I mean? So I don't really know if going into next year if he's really going to be there or not. But my main concern was, why didn't they stop that freaking tight end last night?
Yeah.
Not many teams have, to be fair.
Kittle's tough, man. And look, it's all about timing. This is Shanahan's office and offense in general. Mm-hmm. But Nick Mullins is ridiculously comfortable in this. The ball comes out of his hand on time, every time, at least when it's to the tight end. Other guys, it's a little bit later or more contemplative, to throw a different word in there. But for Kittle, as soon as he's out of his break, the ball is there. If for whatever reason, he has this great comfort with them. So it's really hard to stop that, especially when you have linebackers covering them. The times that the Giants would bring, and this is too inside football, but whatever, the times that the Giants would bring a safety down on Kittle, the timing was off a little bit because you know you're not beating them like that. You can beat a linebacker in a snap.
Yeah, safety's got a little more wiggle.
Exactly. It's harder to beat a safety.
All right. How about Jerry in Las Vegas? Jerry's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What up, Jerry?
How you guys doing today?
Hey,
we're good, man.
Yeah, Jerry?
Well, I've been watching Eli for a number of years. I'm not a particular New York Giants fan, but I am a fan of football. And really, his record for the last 4 or 5 years, it's been time. He's gotten two coaches fired already. I mean, I think it's time to put him away. It's time for the Giants to either draft a quarterback or trade for a quarterback with their draft choice if necessary.
To be fair, Jerry, let me throw this in there, Jerry, real quick, buddy. Just I want everybody to be on the same page. Tiki, because I believe strongly Eli cannot be on the roster for a multitude of reasons. I think it just obscures their future. Mm-hmm. But Tinky's not saying that they shouldn't draft the quarterback.
No.
Tinky's just leaving the window open for allowing Eli to compete, which I don't think is the right move either. I just don't think he should be on the roster.
Just rip the Band-Aid off right away.
You got to move on.
And make it go, make the transition happen immediately.
I think so.
Basically go young everywhere. They're young almost everywhere, mm-hmm. BT, except for a couple offensive linemen, but skill position wise, they're all young. Evan Ingram's young, Shepard's young, Odell's young, Saquon's. I mean, everybody's young except for the quarterback. So they wanted that sage veteran presence to potentially make a run. As we've talked about over the weeks, they were wrong. they thought they could do it. They were wrong because the old line isn't right. I just don't know. I mean, it's got to be in the draft. And this is just to bring up his suggestion. It's got to be in the draft because I try to think of quarterbacks that could potentially be moved that you would want.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a ton.
No.
I mean, Flacco, maybe.
Nah, you don't want Joe Flacco.
Teddy Bridgewater is probably the highest, most intriguing one. But we still don't really even know about Teddy. I mean, we do, but we don't know about Teddy. So it's got to be.
You mean if he's fully recovered or what he is without the injury?
Because
there was a little question about who he was before he went down.
It's that.
Okay. I don't disagree with that.
What's his ceiling?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be great.
But you don't need. If it's a transition, the ceiling doesn't have to be through the moon. It's got to be above the floor.
True. But if you're going to transition and you're going to bite that bullet to transition, you might as well just get the young kid in.
No doubt about it. But you need Herbert to come out. You know, you need a few things. Do you really believe in Luck?
Which we don't know if he is.
I know. I know the Giants dispatched their scouting crew to watch him this past week, and I don't know if he's coming out.
Yeah.
Paul's in Long Island. Paul's on Tiki and Tierney. Paul, go ahead, buddy. What's up?
Hey, guys. Similar situation. I just looked it up the other day. Dan Reeves and Phil Sims.
Yes.
Phil Sims was totally shocked when he was released. He was coming off a decent year, and they had drafted Dave Brown.
Yep.
And it reminded me of what's going on nowadays.
Yeah. No, I mean, at the end of the day, though, you got to find you got to have the right guy that's coming in behind you. I remember that Dave Brown situation. It was tough for the Giants to handle. Appreciate your call there. But, yeah, look, BT has a different take on this. My take is the Giants, they need to go young at quarterback, but I think they need to draft that guy and then have Eli compete with that guy. And by competing, you actually become better, right? You learn the process from the guy you're competing with. And, again, we tried to think about this, and I tried to think about this. There's not a ton of examples of a franchise iconic player getting out – easily or peacefully, so to speak. And so it gets really difficult. There's a ton of kids in the draft, though. That's what makes this really interesting. Herbert, as BT was mentioning, from Oregon is one. Daniel Jones, who's down at Duke, he's another. Will Greer, who West Virginia, he's another one. And potentially Gardner Minshew, who is the quarterback at Washington State. Now, he's had a great season. Washington State, the Cougars right now are sitting at 9-1, 6-1 in the conference. They're in the top 10 in the AP poll. We'll find out tonight where they sit in the college football playoff. But they're one of these surprise teams under Mike Leach that people are, starting to say maybe they have a chance to be this disruptor in the college football playoff out of the Pac-12. Well, the good thing about talking about Gardner Minshew is that he's coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney. He's going to join us on the other side of our break, but let's get the update first from Jay Berman.
CBS's Super Bowl season rolls on Sunday with exciting regional action. The Steelers, who are red hot, head south to battle the Jaguars, who are not red hot. Later on, the Chargers take on the Broncos. AFC West battle Check your local listings for the game in your area. Kick off the day with the NFL Today, presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Week 11 around the NFL. Crazy.
Flies, man.
It goes fast, buddy. So it's the college season. Coming up a little bit, we're going to chat with Washington State's quarterback, Gardner Minshew, is having a hell of a season. And what a great route he's taken. A bit extraneous, but it's certainly paying dividends. Junior college to East Carolina, grad transfer. The Cougars right now firmly tucked inside the top 10 in the rankings. And in terms of the playoff rankings, they got a chance to jump up a couple of spots here tonight. Maybe one spot.
Yeah, they could. We'll find out tonight with the college football playoff. But their loss is a bad one. It was
USC.
USC, who's, U.S.
It's not a good one.
No, it's not a good one. But they've been playing great, and Gardner's been playing great. We got to ask him about his mustache because he's rocking a fantastic one. In fact, last week against Colorado,
put the mustache on
Coach Leach. So we'll ask about it. I got a list of some of the all-time great mustaches.
Burt Reynolds better be on this list.
Oh, Burt Reynolds
Raleigh Fingers.
Certainly is on this.
Raleigh Fingers Raleigh better be on this list.
Raleigh is not on the list. I didn't think about Raleigh, but that's a great one.
Goose Gossage?
I'm adding it.
You got the Goose?
I don't have the Gooch. I don't have the Goose.
Well, who's on your list?
You want to hear it?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's a good one if you don't have the Goose and Raleigh.
Burt Reynolds.
He's got to be on everyone.
Tom Selleck.
Good one.
Very good one.
I forgot about Tom.
The Hulk Hogan. Incomparable Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
with the
he does
Fu
have
Manchu.
That stash. He does.
You forget he has it until you see him.
True.
Here's an odd one.
Okay.
John Waters. Remember John Waters is the director. He has that little pencil mustache. Just like
John
little skin.
Waters.
He's a weirdo, so don't even think of it.
Okay.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Good one. Very good. Classic one.
Here's a cartoon one for you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lorax.
The what?
The Lorax.
Oh, good.
The Lorax one is massive, man. It's like epic. The Lorax. Salvador Dali.
Uh-huh.
Who's got that big, like,
the hook.
Big hook one that's way up.
Yeah.
And then Raleigh Fingers, now that you said. And I get Goose Gossage. I don't remember Goose.
Goose
though.
Was big and bushy. Raleigh was more streamlined.
Yeah, Raleigh,
more...
I remember because he had the twirls, the French curls or whatever it was.
I got to come up with another one, too, like a non-athletic one. Good mustache here. You can throw Chewbacca on there. Chewie, I mean, he had the body stash, but if you want to...
He has a whole body stash.
You know,
right?
He had the stash in some way. So we'll chat with quarterback a little bit. Sean's in San Diego. Sean's on Tiki and Tierney. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man.
What's
How
up,
are
buddy?
You?
Good, good. Well, full disclosure, we never really liked Eli out here in San Diego.
Of course.
I wouldn't either.
Of course. Yeah, that was an epic boo session when we played out there. I think it was his first year.
It was a Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And it was his first 300-yard game
It was epic.
I remember that.
The boos were epic.
Qualcomm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, Sean. Go ahead.
No, sure. I would say that, I just don't think that Eli is performing at the level that these guys that are in their late 30s are performing. You know, obviously, Big Ben and Rivers coming out of the same draft, and then Breeze and Brady are just on another level. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, you just look at their draft specific with Big Ben and Phillip Rivers. Those two guys, I mean, Phillip Rivers is having a quasi-MVP-type season right now.
Mm-hmm.
As good as he's been, and they've only lost two games, and those two were against the two of the highest-scoring teams in football. And Big Ben is, leading a resurgence over the last couple of weeks. What are they, went six in a row now, five in a row or something like that in Pittsburgh, whereas Eli is just kind of hanging on. Now, a lot of it is about what's surrounding both of those teams. I think the Chargers have done a really good job of getting assets for Phillip Rivers, and we've seen it over the last couple of years, from Keenan Allen to
He's got Odell Beckham Jr.
I agree, but I mean, particularly on the offensive line.
Okay.
And we talk about the Steelers. I mean, they might have one of the top two or three offensive lines in football.
Yeah, it's very good.
At the end of the day, skill position is one thing. If you don't have those five guys, it gets really rough for quarterbacks.
I hear you. They were debating it last night on the game, whether or not Eli's a Hall of Famer. Witten had his back, and obviously Witten played against him all the time in the NFC East, and Boog said he's not.
Yeah.
And Tessitore went with Witten. But Tessitore just gets too excited, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too.
My brother texts me every Monday.
It's too much. Even Jen said, is this a big game? I said, it's actually like the least interesting
1-7 versus 2-7.
All right, Teague, we mentioned him before. He's having a hell of a year. His name is Gardner Minshew. He's the quarterback for Washington State. They've got the one blemish, but outside of that, 9 wins and a lot of national traction. And we get a chance to chat with him. He's with us here on Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Gardner, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great, man. Thank y'all for having me on.
Hey, man. Yeah, we're excited. Going? Yeah, exactly. We got to ask you about the stash. What's the inspiration for the stash?
Man, the inspiration, first off, is Burt Reynolds.
Nice.
I see. That was number one on my list. I made a list of all of the potential inspirations. Burt was number one. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, you just throw the rest of the list away. I mean, yeah, that's all you need right there.
Oh, that's awesome. Where's that? Why Burt? I mean, obviously, he was a football player. We know his love of sport. But why Burt?
Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
Long story short, I grew up on it, had it on VHS, watched it probably a million times. Him and the Black Trans Am, just that was one of the baddest dudes I've ever seen.
Yeah,
no, you're an old soul.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an old movie for somebody who's in college.
It was on the other day.
I like it.
It was on the other day. I watched it. It's actually great.
It holds up.
Yeah, it really does. Now the question is, do you have a Black Trans Am? Now that would be real badass.
I'm working on that. Working on that. Working on that as we speak.
Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Let me ask you this, because and I detailed briefly your path here. Junior college, East Carolina Pirates, transfer, graduate transfer, obviously now Washington State. And, you've picked up the system and you fit in so quickly, but you're making what I think is pretty challenging look easy to step into a good program and not miss a beat. Has it been as seamless behind the scenes? I can't imagine it has been.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it's a testament to, just kind of guys around me, man. These the players accept me, kind of early and let me, really lead how I know how. And these coaches have helped me, get me up to speed in the offense. And, also I'd say one of the things that's helped me is, that I have, made these moves a couple times. I've kind of gotten it down, going to new teams, new locker rooms, finding a way to fit in, earn the respect, and then eventually lead. I think it's something that, my path up to this point has really prepared me for.
I got, Gardner Minshew, the Washington State quarterback, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, not to dig back too deep, but, what was the genesis of that? Was it lack of being recruited? Was it academics? What led you to the community college first, where you won a national championship, by the way, deserves the kudos, and in East Carolina? What led to all the circuitous route?
Yeah, well, actually, coming out of high school, I walked on at Troy because I had a Troy offer, and then they got a new staff. So I ended up deciding to walk on, and so I decided that wasn't for me. Went junior college, and then, East Carolina and there. But, yeah, I just didn't really have anything recruiting-wise. I had no D1s. Had them early, but they ended up kind of dropping me.
Yeah.
So I just had to, kind of get in where you fit in and make the best of your situation.
And now here we sit. You are one of the top five in a lot of people's rankings in the Heisman Trophy race here with Tua and Kyler Murray and Will Grier, obviously from West Virginia, and yourself. But let's talk about this Washington State Cougar squad. Well, really, first of all, let's talk about your coach, because I've had Mike Leach on a couple times, and he is nuts. I mean, what's it like? What's he like to you guys?
No, he's like, however you met him, he's like that all the time, because he doesn't put on a front. He isn't doing any of it for attention or whatever. That is him 100% of the time, unapologetically. I think that's, there's something to that, that guys can respect. Is just, he's going to be the same guy every day, every minute, every meeting.
Yeah.
And, I think that's pretty awesome.
Does that make it easier for you guys in a sense? Because it almost takes the pressure, takes the spotlight sometimes off you all, unless you're playing great like you are, obviously. But, I mean, you never know what he's going to say. And so you get caught up worrying about what the coaches are saying as opposed to what the players are doing.
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely he takes a lot of the attention, and we certainly don't mind that, just with the character that he is. But, I think a lot of it, that's, what, kind of – entice a lot of our guys to come here.
Yeah.
To play for such a personality, a guy that's so well known around the country.
Yeah.
And then obviously what he does on offense. So, yeah, I think, kind of all that added up, is nothing but positive for the program.
Yeah, and the conference is obviously very solid. Cal beat USC for the first time, I think, since 2003. Stanford's been a staple now for a long time. Oregon's starting to get their act together after a little dip after Coach Kelly left. So, Pac-12, obviously, it's a fun conference. It's got a lot of prestige. And I am curious, though, because Teek and I do this for a living, obviously. So we have to dissect, if Notre Dame does this weekend, and Oklahoma does that, and these guys do this, you can't get too wrapped up in the future, because the present could bite you, and you know that as an athlete. But let's face it, you're on the periphery. You're knocking on the door of the Final Four. So how much will you watch tonight? Do you discuss with your teammates? Is that centrally on your minds? How do you guys deal with that in season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it – I mean, what are the in-season rankings? I mean, they don't really matter. You know, I mean, you look at each in the past years, you know, the initial rankings, you know, never hold up. So, I mean, you just got to wait to the end of the year, you know, play your best ball, and then, you know, you kind of just got to let the cards fall where they're going to fall, you know, because we can't control any of it.
Yeah.
You know, so we just have to, you know, put our best ball on tape and, you know, just, you know, hope we can do enough to earn one of those spots.
Yeah. Are you allowing yourself, though, to think about – where your journey has brought you? I mean, you're going to be in the conversation of one of these top picks come next year's NFL drafted quarterback. Have you allowed yourself to think about that?
Man, I sure try not to, but man, it's been such an incredible journey. You know, all the ups and downs that I've been through, and now to have this season, you know, with the coaches and the guys around me, you know, and the success that we're having, man, it's been incredible. But yeah, that's what, you know, you do your best just to try to focus on, you know, beat Arizona this week. And that's all I can try to do right now.
It's, you know, it's not that different from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield's path, not saying you're going to go first here, but although anything's possible, but Baker's path wasn't, you know, a linear straight shot. You know, if one thing we're seeing about the modern athlete is that not only are there more options, but I think that NFL teams are more open to different paths than they were maybe in the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. And just with how college football is nowadays with the rules, I mean, I put myself in a position academically where I could move. You know, I could leave junior college after 1 year. I could leave, you know, East Carolina after, you know, just being 3 years in college because I got my degree. So, I mean, there's these rules in place that allow athletes to kind of seek their best opportunities. And I don't think that's a bad thing. And I think, you know, coaches are seeing that and seeing, you know, if guys can play, they can play. And I think that's a really good thing for the sport.
With you. Options are definitely good, especially for young student-athletes. Mm-hmm. If they handle business in the classroom, give them the ability to go and pursue what they want to pursue. I agree. Gardner Winship was with us here, Washington State quarterback Tiki and Tierney.
You know, I want to go back to that because so much I think sometimes at least the academic side of being a college student-athlete gets lost. You know, we think about – guys who are in your situation, they're going to be a draft pick or a top first-round draft pick. It's like, I don't care about school. I mean, you're actually saying the opposite. It's almost as if you're saying academically it gave you the freedom. Is that something – where did you get that from? Was that from your parents? Was that from, you know, a school administrator? Where did that come from? Because I think it's unique, and it's the better story to tell rather than go charge into the NFL. It's more just handle your business academically, and then you can control your route, which is much more interesting from my standpoint.
Yeah, no, I'd say absolutely. My mom, you know, she's the one that always harped on the academic. She's a middle school math teacher, you know, one of the smartest people I know. And she always, you know, kind of instilled that in me. And, you know, in that way I kind of got ahead in school and set me, you know, I took college class in high school. That set me up to be ahead in college, set me up to be ahead in junior college and do all that. And I think it's very important to kind of reward guys that, you know, can do that and take these extra loads and, you know, set themselves up better so where at the end of my 4 years, I can get a master's. That's what I'm working on right now.
Oh, that's great.
And I don't think that should be, you know, held against guys that, you know, they want to, you know, accelerate their degree and get this master's paid for while they're still playing.
Yeah, no, you're right. It sets you up for no matter what happens on the professional ranks of your sport. Now, the question that I got to ask you, because we always see this. Guys gets a camera, stand on the sidelines. Like, hi, Mom. Like, your mom was a great athlete as well as your dad was a great athlete. Who was the bigger influence on you athletically?
Oh, I don't know. That's tough. You know, I still don't think I've ever beat my mom in horse. So that's pretty tough. I'll never be able to outlift my dad. But, man, they both had such an influence on me growing up and playing.
My producer just told me your sister's a great volleyball player too. I mean, you got athletics all over your family.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, my oldest of my younger two sisters, she won 4 state championships in dance in high school. My youngest sister just won her second volleyball title in a row. She's going to Mississippi State to play. So yeah, man, we've been blessed as a family just to have, you know, some good genes.
Yeah.
Well, listen,
that's awesome.
It's showing up on Saturdays. Two regular season games to go, 9 wins, the one trip up against USC. Whole season's in front of you, man. Your whole future's in front of you. It's been a nice a nice story that I think a lot of people are beginning to learn more and more about. So happy to tell it for you on our show, man. Thanks for stopping by.
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you all so much. And Tiki, you're always my favorite of the Barber Brothers.
I appreciate that. I cannot wait. Samter, clip that. We're sending that to Rhonda. appreciate you, Gardner. Be good. Good luck.
Yes. See you, pal. The mustache.
I know. Burt Reynolds, he called it right out. Smokey and the Bandit. It was on the other day. It's one of those movies that I can watch because I'm like him. I watched it all the time when I was a kid.
Yep.
And it could be at any point. The Black Trans Am, you know, running from the cops.
It's a legend.
It was an awesome flick.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I'm that about it.
I'm shocked that he knows it.
Well, that's why I said he's an old soul.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 22 years old. That movie was in 81-ish, 82.
Maybe
I mean, somewhere
that.
In that vicinity, yeah. Right? Early 80s. Kind of the whole Caddyshack.
Right.
I mean, it's a million years ago.
I know.
That's awesome.
I know.
Good for him. Good young man.
I was glad to learn a little bit about him, man.
Yeah.
I realized.
Good head on the shoulders. All right, coming up. What's going on with the Warriors? We got a little problems out there. We'll talk about it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.